Recording started, Angie.
Thank you, Kathy. Welcome to the April 12, 2018 ESSAC Review Work Party Meeting. And we've got presentations today from MSSI, very briefly, and Analysis Group. So I'll forward to our agenda here, just a couple of details. We've got, I think, everybody's name, unless you're only audio in the room. So we'll assume that we have everybody represented by name in the Zoom room. And what MSSI would like to present is just a repeat of the review timeline as a reminder to everybody, and a couple of other slides with respect to roles in the review and next steps. So looking at this timeline, if it's not big enough, let me see if I can make it a little bit bigger. On April 4th, Analysis Group delivered the draft survey questions to the review work party, and that's to seek input prior to the survey going online, which is scheduled for mid-April. The steps that come after this is, following closing of the survey, the next deliverable from the independent examiner is going to be the draft assessment report. You will get a preview of that. This, if you look at the green balloon, this is delivered only to the review work party and is seeking your feedback and input prior to opening the publishing the assessment report and for public consultation. And we'll go into August, September, and November with other parts. This will be the recommendations, which is the second phase of the two-phase process. We start with an assessment, get everybody's input, feedback, factual clarifications, et cetera, and then the public input as well. And then if you look at the burnt orange balloon, that's recommendations that are delivered only to the ESSAC review work party, and that's for your input and feedback too. This kind of gives you a little bit of a layout of what's to come time-wise, not being specific to dates in most instances, so that if you have time constraints or needs for additional consideration time, just speak up and we will work with the independent examiner to make any adjustments to the timeline so that your needs can be accommodated. And just to go over where we are a little bit with respect to roles and responsibilities in the review, you'll see check marks next to the items that we've completed. Where we are right now with respect to who does what is in bold. And what we're looking for with respect to the survey is some RWP member outreach support, and SI is able to facilitate some of that outreach as well, and also to provide input to the survey questions, see what adjustments need to be made, and continue to provide factual clarifications and corrections to the independent examiners so they don't go down a wrong road. I don't know that you have any questions about this, but this is a really good slide for reference. In the future, this will be posted to the review wiki if anybody would like to reference it in the future, and we can also send you your own copy of the file. This is the last slide, and just as a matter of scheduling, I think, and maybe Kathy or Rod can confirm this, I think we have established a regular call schedule. It's not to say that we'll have every meeting that's scheduled. We'd just like to have a placeholder in the calendar. And if we don't hold the meeting, those will be canceled well prior to the date. Kathy, if you don't mind me asking, can you confirm that we've established this, or do we need to do that work?
We have a regularly scheduled weekly call that I can definitely forward you an invite for, and we can do that going forward.
Okay, very good. Very good. Thank you so much. So we're in a period right now, just to repeat the earlier slide, where the review work party is in possession of the draft survey questions and is invited to provide any input that might be needed prior to it going online. And when it does go online in the coming weeks, we'd appreciate you doing your own part with your network and colleagues to invite them to provide input to the survey so that we have a really good turnout for that. It'll be open for about a month. And that concludes MSSI's presentation. I'd like to invite anybody to ask questions if you have any. Okay. Very good. With that, I will turn it over to Greg Rayford and Chris Lopp with Analysis Group. And Kathy, if you can switch the sharing, we'll get started with MSSI slide deck. Thank you so much.
Angie, I need you to stop sharing first.
Oh, very good.
Thank you.
Excellent. Well, hey, everyone. Kathy, do we have the ability to change slides, or is that something you'll need to do for us?
You should be able to do it yourself.
Okay, let me just make sure I see. Is there a button of some sort that I should be looking for?
If you just click on, can you just click on the, to the left, like
each? Maybe. It's not working for me. Greg, is it working when you click on things?
Chris, one thing you might need to do is if you move your mouse to the bottom of your monitor, there's a share screen option. I'm not sure if that will help or not, but it's at least one thing to try. Cool.
I think I'll share my full screen and get rid of the deck here, which I can do. That's no problem. Can people see my screen now?
Yes.
It's perfect.
Excellent. So let's go. We'll just go with this. Lovely. This is exactly the view that we wanted. Display setting. Perfect. Okay. Well, great. Well, thanks so much, everyone, for calling in and being here to talk with us. It's always so much fun to chat on the phone once you've met people in person, because I feel like you have such a better sense of context of, you know, mannerisms and how people are. But for those who weren't able to be there in person, you know, my name is Chris Lopp. I'm working with Greg and Almudena and Scott and Steven on this project, and had a great time meeting people in person, and I'm very excited to get your thoughts on the materials we've been sending over the past couple of weeks. Just to give you guys a little bit of a agenda in terms of what we're planning to talk about today, you know, I think a main purpose of this conversation in our minds is to sort of hear, you know, your thoughts on the things we sent so far. But we do have some slides to sort of cue that up as we go. So we'll start just by revisiting the project timeline. And from there, getting into first, we'll talk about the interviews that have already happened and are ongoing. I know we had sent a long sort of idea of what we've learned or been told from that process so far. So that'll be sort of part one, and then part two will be digging into the survey instrument that we sent along and looking for, you know, your feedback on that. To the extent it's easier to follow up by email or some other medium, you know, please feel free to do that. From there, we'll talk a little bit about next steps. And then, you know, I don't know that there'll be Q&A left at the end. Hopefully that can come up as we're going and do this more as a discussion. But, you know, to the extent that there are questions at the end, we're happy to do that as well. Does that sound good? Any questions on agenda or other expectations? Great. So here's an updated version of the project timeline that we had shown in the last meeting. And the only real changes have been the shading here, just to sort of call out in red the things we're most focused on now. So as you can see, you know, and as a lot of you did in person, you know, we did a bunch of interviews at ICANN 61. We're now in the remote interview phase. So I was doing, you know, one earlier today. We have a bunch scheduled over the next week or so. Those will keep on going, and we'll talk more about sort of the demographics of who we've interviewed so far and who we will interview in the future. In addition to that, you know, we've been working to process the notes, design the survey, and really enforce here, you know, we're in this last part of it, soliciting your feedback to make sure that, you know, the things we're saying and doing sort of jive with what makes sense based on your, you know, deep organizational expertise. The survey period itself will be hopefully from next Wednesday for about a month. We're on track for that right now, but to the extent, you know, we decide in this conversation there's more editing to do or something, you know, we can talk about it. And then I'll get to the black bullet points at the end of the deck. We can talk about, you know, next steps and what's on the horizon. Questions on timeline? See Julie raised her hand.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, just a question on the presentation at ICANN 62. Is that a public session presentation or is it a presentation to the ESSAC? Just because we're at the beginning of our planning of our schedule, and so that'll help inform us about our own planning.
Yeah.
Gregory, I think our understanding is that it will be a public session, but if Lars and Angie, I don't know if you have kind of a different view on whether or not it will be public.
Yeah, and it does depend somewhat on the timeline. If the assessment report has not been published by the time that the that ICANN 62 and the session planned takes place, then it could be a private meeting. But the intention, assuming we stay on this timeline and the assessment report has been published, then we'll be in a public consultation period. If there's a preference for a private meeting in addition to the public meeting, that certainly can be arranged. If there's a desire for that, Julie.
From my personal perspective, that's not a factor here. It's really just making sure that in our planning, if this session is going to be scheduled at a particular time, we need to make sure that our ESSAC meetings don't overlap that so that we can all be there. That's my main aim in asking the question. So the sooner we can resolve when the session may well be, irrespective of whether it's public or not, the more chance we've got of successfully working around it.
This is Angie. Thank you, Julie. And I'll work with Kathy to make those arrangements. Thank you for the heads up.
Great. Thanks.
Great. Thanks so much, Julie, for the question. And on that note, you know, we are committed to hitting the deadlines that we've made here for you all. So, you know, we will have a draft assessment. That's not the word. We will have, you know, the draft assessment report in late May and the assessment report in June. You know, we're happy to be flexible to the extent, you know, we now know firsthand how busy the ESSAC is. So, you know, if there's some reason to revisit that based on your needs, we're happy to do that. But, you know, we're committed to not being the reason that things get pushed back outside of that. So, yeah. Great. All right, well, I'll keep going. And if there are any scheduling questions at the end, we can talk about that too. You know, Greg and I are both confirmed to join in Panama. So we will both be there to talk as well at ICANN 62. Great. So let's talk about the summary of interviews. I have a couple slides of sort of background information, and then we'll hopefully get into talking about your reaction. I think, you know, one thing I'll just cue up now, to the extent that, you know, questions that you might have for us are particularly detailed, I might prefer that we write those down and get back to you, just because, you know, as you know, preserving anonymity is one of the really important things that we're trying to do. And I just don't want to, you know, off the cuff say something that someone said and, you know, realize that they're the only person who could have potentially said it and then, you know, cause trouble down the road. So we're going to try and be careful about that, but also, you know, fostering whatever kind of open conversation is useful and needed. just this is a slide you saw before. We just changed the tense to be, you know, past tense. But as a reminder, you know, the interviews were semi-structured and are semi-structured, approximately 45 minutes in length, somewhat over, somewhere less, and really covering this broad range of topics that you would have seen in the summary. You know, interviewees were encouraged to share both strengths and weaknesses of the FSAC, and hopefully from the summary, you see that, you know, people seem to feel comfortable doing both. You know, our feeling definitely wasn't that people were holding anything back, and, you know, people seemed to be okay broaching potentially sensitive topics and occasionally saying, yeah, you know, maybe don't write this down, but I think this, or, you know, things like that. And that didn't happen often, but it was good to see that people had the comfort. And for the most part, I think people were very excited to talk, which was, you know, really wonderful to get to sit and take notes and then think about after the fact. The other sort of pressure test, you know, for those who were interviewed, you might have noticed our last question was basically to turn the floor over and say, you know, well, is there anything that you wished we had asked that we hadn't? And while a couple of people sort of had additional thoughts there, I think the vast majority of the responses to that were, no, you know, I feel like I got everything out that matters to me. And, you know, that's sort of just for us a good judge of, you know, was the interview instrument that we were using appropriate? And we made a couple small tweaks along the way, you know, added a question on accountability. But for the most part, I think, you know, we felt good about how that's gone and how it continues to go. In terms of the interviews at ICANN 61, so there were 32 different interviews that took place. And the remote interviews are ongoing, as I mentioned. Just table one here is sort of showing a regional demographic. And as you can see, it definitely, you know, skews North America and Europe, but we are getting some other opinions in as well. In the remote interviews, you know, I've been scheduling a couple for time zones in Europe and Australia and other places. So, you know, we will continue to see diversity here. I guess I wanted to sort of pause for a moment, and I don't know, Greg, if you have any additional thoughts on this or if anyone has comments on geographic diversity here, especially noting that, you know, we were in Puerto Rico, so potentially a little bit easier for North Americans to travel. But also, as people have mentioned, that the FSAC sort of skews towards North American participation and European participation anyways. But
yeah, Chris, and this is Greg from Analysis Group. I don't have anything to add here. I think it's, you know, ideally we would have more participation from some of the underrepresented regions, but it's also, I think, unfortunately not surprising that we kind of tended to skew towards North America and Europe.
Yeah, but I mean, and of course, you know, while that's the case, I do feel like contextually people were talking about these other regions and the importance of them in such a way that, you know, it's not like they were being ignored in topic, but it is still important to continue to seek that out. Okay. The next slide, you know, you'll see gender diversity and then ICANN affiliation here together. Gender diversity, you know, obviously is far more males than females. I think the ratio for the remote interviews is, you know, not balanced, but it's more than, you know, 4 to 28. So, you know, these, it won't be quite as stark. But, you know, in terms of the sort of ICANN affiliation, the sort of breadth there, you can see that, you know, even though it's very SX centric, and we've gotten a good number of board members sort of being able to ask, well, you know, what do you think about the recommendations you get from the FSAC? You know, how do the processes of, you know, thinking about those work? Some breadth between SOSACs, you know, ICANN staff, and I think this is a place where we're also targeting some specific representation from other SOSACs for the remote interviews as well. So, Greg, anything to add?
No, I think you did a good job of covering it.
Excellent. You can tell me if I don't in front of everyone. I'm comfortable with that. Well, great. So I think with that backdrop, it'd be great to sort of get, you know, your thoughts on the interview summaries. So, you know, we had sent the document around April 1st. I can pull it up here if useful. It's sort of long, so it might not be the most effective use of our time to go into great depth just feeding through it. But, you know, I think the key is this document will be updated as we're doing remote interviews. And I think the final version of it will really be an appendix to the assessment report, right? So we're aiming for transparency in that, and to provide, you know, sort of this as a resource to, you know, show this part of the process. I think our main questions here at the bottom are, you know, is there anything that, you know, seems to be missing? Because I think that could be a flag that we need to sort of chase down additional avenues that we haven't yet. But then also just additional feedback and thoughts. And I know a couple, you know, responses went out around around the list, but, you know, it's probably other conversations and thoughts you've had since. So. I guess if no one has explicit thoughts, I might just sort of ask generally, you know, was there surprise or not surprise or, you know, any sort of general reactions to the document?
Chris, this is Lyman. I do have one question, and it may be just that I haven't read through your summary as completely as I might have done, but did you, with the people you talked to, did you focus on the relationships and sort of cooperative or collaborative arrangements that the ESSAC has with other organizations, primarily within ICANN, but also outside of ICANN? I'm wondering if that was a focus of your interviews, or if you learned anything interesting from pursuing those kinds of questions, or maybe that wasn't a major topic for the conversations you were having with the people you talked to.
Yeah, Lyman, thanks for the question. That's great. You know, it's interesting. There are definitely questions on it, and I think people ended up focusing on it a little bit more than the questions would have forced them to. So, you know, questions 7 and 8 and sort of the general script was first, you know, the relationship between ESSAC and the ICANN board, but then, you know, between ESSAC and SOJCs, NOMCOM, other entities. And I think, you know, so people definitely always had thoughts on those. A couple people would say, you know, well, I can talk about my SO or my AC, but not, you know, broadly, which makes sense. I do think, you know, there are a lot of places where we ask sort of questions about effectiveness and success. Where you'd hear, you know, voices, especially voices of people, you know, not in the ESSAC, who are sort of thinking about it from the external perspective, talking about, well, you know, I want to know, you know, how can we be, what, you know, they might say the word involved, which might not be the word that feels right to ESSAC members, but, you know, how can I interact with the ESSAC? So I do think, you know, we had some details in terms of, you know, particular points of historic tension or things like that. I think for the large part, you know, people still, you know, think very, very highly of the ESSAC and said really, really good things. But, you know, I think we did get into some more nuances there as well. And there seems to be like a, especially as security issues become sort of more and more prevalent, right? People are saying things to the extent of, well, you know, how can the ESSAC be involved in my policymaking process? And I know, I know there could be a host of reactions to that based on, the role of the ESSAC, but yeah. Does that answer the question, Lyman, or would it be helpful to talk about it?
No, that's good. I was wondering if you dug into, you know, one of the things that I've noticed is both an explicit and an implicit overlap between what the ESSAC charter says that it's responsible for and what the RSAC charter says that it's responsible for. And I was wondering if you had been able to talk to anyone who raised that as a not so much as an issue, but as a point of information, that there are things that potentially the ESSAC and the RSAC could be doing to collaborate on security and stability implications around the root system, and you know, whether or not they're doing a good job doing that. I know you had a few people, you know, you did have people comment on the effectiveness of the liaison relationship, and I think that, you know, that certainly is useful information. But I was wondering if you explored the way in which ESSAC could increase its effectiveness by essentially leveraging relationships with other groups that have responsibilities and charters that either abut or even in some cases somewhat overlap that of the ESSAC.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I did a remote interview earlier today where that came up explicitly. And that same idea of, I mean, so sort of to take a step back, I don't want to say anything identifiable. So I think, you know, generally people have said that the, you know, the relationship between the ESSAC and the RSAC is good. I think it seems to us that the ESSAC is doing a lot more, and I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but, you know, very, very active and very, very engaged. And there definitely were people mentioning that there's, you know, this potential overlap in focus where, you know, there could be areas where, you know, the RSAC focusing on a particular thing, you know, more related to their duties would free up the ESSAC to focus on, you know, the insert other thing here, especially given the large number of requests being made of the ESSAC, particularly recently. So it has come up, I'd say maybe in like 3 or 4 of the interviews. We haven't delved a lot deeper than that yet. I know, you know, it was suggested to us that we look at the recent review of the RSAC as one potential, you know, thought point and the commentary around that as an input into, you know, what we're doing now. And so that came up as well.
Okay, thanks very much. That's very, very useful.
Yeah, good. Glad to hear it. Any other questions, comments, concerns? Hopefully silence doesn't mean it's all a bunch of crap. Uh-oh. Okay. Well, Greg, do you have anything else on this, or should we jump to the...
No, I think we could leave ourselves enough time to see if there are any comments on the survey document in particular. So nothing here right now.
Excellent. Let's keep going then. And if you think of anything later, please do feel free to reach out to us. So the survey draft instrument, you know, as we talked about before, the purpose of the survey is to elicit feedback on the ESSAC strengths and weaknesses from sort of a broader group of people than we can sit down and interview. So hopefully it's, you know, everyone we interview responds to the survey, and plus, you know, other people, whoever's in your network that you think would be valuable, and you know, from there, other ways as well. So, you know, the survey is really an information gathering tool, and we have this note about it not being analyzed in a statistical manner. You know, I think one thing that came up in person was, well, you know, can you run t-tests to sort of put confidence intervals on the difference between two things? And you know, sure, we can do that if we have a sufficient sample size. We'll, you know, definitely be thinking about all that kind of stuff. But really the goal here is to have some sort of, you know, quantitative analysis to give an idea of, you know, what people are thinking, and to be able to sort of splice that by, you know, different community members and get a sense about, you know, what's going on. You know, as you look at the questions, you might sort of see the overlap there between that and the topic summary. So the two are definitely, you know, related. Not that the topic summary was the only input to the survey, it definitely wasn't. And then, as I mentioned earlier, we're looking to run this from April 18th through May 18th. You know, it's sort of at a high level, you know, one of the things that you have to really be focused on whenever you're designing one of these surveys is, you know, are you potentially biasing people? Are your questions the type, you know, which of the questions will cause people to think a lot versus the ones that won't? You know, do they have an option if they don't know what's going on? You know, what if they only make it partway through the survey? What are the most important things you want to make sure they answer? And so, you know, those are all sort of inputs into what we were doing here. We definitely currently feel like the survey we sent to you is too long. And so, you know, we want to refine that and cut it down, but we sort of wanted to start with the bigger set of things to get going, and go from there. You know, in terms of promotion, so our understanding is, you know, ICANN can do some announcements and help push this through social media. You know, to the extent that you're able to help us do outreach to community members that you know, that would really be helpful. And you know, you could have a potential concern like, oh, well, it'll be biased because it's people I know. Well, the goal is that the questions up front will help us then filter it down to, you know, people in particular groups and whatnot. But, you know, we definitely, you know, appreciate, feel free to forward the link to people you think, you know, might have divergent viewpoints as well. We definitely appreciate it in the interviews. You know, people would flag for us, oh, talk to this person might feel differently. And we've really appreciated that transparency on your end. And in addition, you know, we'll follow up with the interviewees to sort of give them a chance to solicit their feedback into the survey, but also to, you know, if they want to share it with someone in ICANN that they think might take it, that'd be great too. So, great. So we sent over the draft of this one on April 4th, if you want to check your inbox for it or anything. Like I said, it's over-inclusive, April 18th, but, you know, I guess our main questions for you is, you know, does anything seem missing? You know, I took a look through the sort of output from the internal RDVP, like strategic planning, and I don't know that anything sorry, street planning is the wrong word, the review, I didn't see anything that totally stood out as, oh, we're completely missing this, but maybe, you know, you're far more familiar with that than I am. Or if things feel not useful, if something's just worded in an awful way, we'd love to hear it.
Hi, this is Greg Aaron. I can't raise my hand. I'm away from my screen at the moment. Can I take a moment?
Of course.
Thank you. I wanted to talk about the poll for a moment. Internally, we've come up with a few suggestions for the poll, and we'll send those over to you. A personal question. Some of the questions look like they would only be able to be answered by an SAC member who has an inside and routine view of some of these things. What's your view on those types of questions and how to handle them?
Yeah, great question. Greg, do you want to talk about that a little bit since you've used Sawtooth recently?
Of course. This is Greg, Rayford from Analysis Group. Yeah, it's a really good question. And, you know, I think what we'll do when this survey is actually programmed up in Sawtooth, which is, you know, a software program that allows coding these types of surveys, is ensuring, you know, once we know that you're, for example, an SAC member and you're answering the survey, that those questions are shown to you at some point during the survey. But if you're not an SAC member, so let's say you're a board member who's never been on SAC, or you're a member of another SORAC and you've never been on SAC, then those questions, I think, would not be shown. I think as Chris and I were working on the survey, there were some questions where, even though we think SAC members will have the most knowledge with respect to a particular question, it's possible that other people still might have some thoughts and input. And so that's one thing that we've been working on refining a little bit in terms of showing, you know, determining which questions are shown to SAC members versus which ones are not. But we're definitely going to have a lot of questions, I think, that are only shown to current or former SAC members. I don't know if that answers
okay.
Yeah,
programming that in makes sense. So when the poll comes out, you mentioned forwarding it on to anybody who we thought might be interested in filling it out. Does that mesh with the mechanism? Or do you need a list of invitees at the beginning so you know who's whom?
And this is Greg again. We can do both. So what we'll do is, you know, I obviously have a list of some email addresses that we can send a direct link to for the survey. But if there are other people that just want to, who don't receive that email and who want to take the survey, that we'll provide a link that they can access and take the survey.
Yeah, and this is actually a really good point. You know, to the extent that you don't want to be the one bugging your personal network to take a survey, you know, we're more than happy to, you know, collect whatever email addresses you think are useful and then, you know, filter those and only email each person once and that kind of thing. You know, sometimes people are a little more likely to respond if it comes from someone they know as opposed to, you know, Greg and myself. But really, you know, whatever you're comfortable with there.
Okay, thanks.
Great. And it's great to hear that you have some suggestions and thoughts. We'll look forward to seeing that and be sure to integrate it into the process moving forward. Anything
I
else?
I'm seeing that Julie has raised a hand and so may have a question or a comment.
Oh, my apologies. I had it up before. It was just on the issue of with the survey, making sure that people who've actually had interviews still understand that they can do the survey as well. I think we touched on that one other time.
Good. Yeah, that's definitely on our radar. And we've been thinking that, you know, we want to make sure that whatever cover email we're sending to people who've done the interviews realize that, you know, I think the way we mentioned it when it came up in the interviews themselves was to say, you know, we know that we're getting your feelings here now, but, you know, hopefully once we talk to a whole lot of people, we'll have a, you know, breadth of things that then you can weigh in on. And, you know, maybe someone's opinion changes since the interview. Well, you know, we're not going to be trying to map those things back or anything, but, you know, we'll be clear.
Okay.
Great. All right. Well, if nothing else on this, I'll move into the next steps bit. This is just the same slide as before. So, you know, really the most immediate next step is bullet five, the survey period itself. You know, while that's going on, we're going to be starting to put the draft assessment report together. But of course, you know, we won't have all the information yet because the survey is not complete. But, you know, you can sort of imagine us starting to frame it up and, you know, things will change based on the survey results. Our goal is to have the assessment report to you for discussion late in May. So, you know, talking about a couple months from now. And then from there to be able to sort of take another month to address any comments that you have and really, you know, think critically about them, have conversations as needed before the assessment report is published publicly on June 20th. And then, you know, that won't be too long before ICANN 62. So, you know, I don't know, you know, how wide readership will be by ICANN, but, you know, hopefully people who are interested will pick it up and read it and definitely can read it while they're, you know, at ICANN before they come to talk at the presentation and engage in discussion there. But that's our picture. Does anyone have any concerns or things that should be on our radar?
Kristen, this is Greg again. I think the only thing that I would add to the project timeline, specifically as it relates to the survey, is you know, after this call, if there are any other comments or edits that people would like to make to the survey, we would of course love to see them. But I think we would need to get them back by, I think ideally this coming Monday, and certainly I think no later than this coming Tuesday to be able to incorporate them into the version of the survey that we're planning on launching on this coming Wednesday. That said, if there are a lot of comments and feedback, we can always push that survey launch date back by a couple of days to incorporate those comments.
Thank you, Greg. All right. Well, thanks so much for sitting through all that and listening, or standing or whatnot. Anything else? No? Okay. Well, Kathy, Angie, I think that's all we have here in the stack.
Thank you very much, Chris, and thank you, Greg, as well. And thanks to the RWP members who spoke up. Happy to get your input, as Greg said. And this is the survey, when it goes online, is going to be promoted fairly widely. In addition to the promotion that you're doing, there will also be an announcement on ICANN.org, a wiki post, social media advertisements, inclusion in the ICANN Global newsletter, and the review status update blog. So you reaching out to your colleagues is very important. It's a lot more personal than these announcements. But we do hope to get a good response from all of the community, and your input is highly valued. Thank you. I think we can close the call for today, and I appreciate everybody's time. And Kathy will have the next meeting scheduled for us when we need to meet. So thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, thank you, everyone.
Thanks.